Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. One of the area's best events is coming up, the Copper Dog 150. Takes place March 3rd through the 5th up in Calumet and northwards from there as well. Joining me in studio right now is Meredith LeBeau, who is the race director, and Beth Ann Riffer, who is the volunteer director. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's, of course, a busy time of year as preparations are being made. The race is only a couple of weeks away, 2 or 3 weeks away now as we talk. And just kind of give me a little bit of rundown, Meredith, from last year's race up till now. What are some of the developments?
Just working on making sure we have a safe trail, healthy dogs, and happy volunteers. So all the things that go with putting that on. We're currently looking at about 19 to 20 mushers in the long race and 10 mushers in the short race. So we're making sure that we have everything ready to welcome them to Calumet on March 3rd.
How would you describe how last year's race went?
Wow, I have to think back that far. Last year's race went without a hitch. It was a very nice race. The only issues we had was a little lack of snow on Sunday, but as much as our communities are adaptable, we moved right through it, switched the start, and welcomed them back home to Calumet, and welcomed our first back-to-back winner, Dennis Labota, from Hovland, Minnesota.
How many years does this make the Copper Dog? What would be the running this time?
This will be the 8th annual Copper Dog 150.
So you have the Copper Dog 150, the long one, and then last year you started with a longer, shorter version with the 80. It used to be it was a 35, then a 40, and then the 80, and you're going to do an 80 again.
Yeah, so what we notice is after the race each year, we get all the mushers into the banquet hall, and we talk about what they like and dislike. And it's been resounding that the sports class mushers want a two-day race. They want to participate more than just the evening of Friday. So last year we started the Copper Dog 80, and it starts on Friday night to Eagle River, and then they restart again on Sunday morning out of Copper Harbor back to Calumet. So they get a start and finish. And it was very successful the first year, so we brought it back for a second year.
I wonder if all those years ago when Todd Bassard and the group were starting to conceptualize this, having a sled dog race in the Keweenaw, they knew how big it was going to be in this matter of just a few years.
I don't think so. I often think that the 40 was going to be more of a race that no one was really interested in, and we've seen increasing numbers. This year it's a little light, but we used to see our highest numbers in that sports class, so something that no one expected.
The weather that we've had this year has been a very interesting winter for sure. A ton of snow at the beginning, then a huge two-week thaw, and then it seems like we're back to winter. How are the trails, do you know?
I just actually spoke with the trail director yesterday. Great trails. There's only a few spots where we're monitoring. Those are the low spots where the swamp is, that it's hard to freeze. But that early snow really packed and set the trails for us. Now we just need to keep a small amount of snow flying so that we have fresh powder to keep grooming in. We probably will not be going over to Brockway this year, and that's always an interesting part for us because Brockway does lose its snow first. Just access to land permissions and that kind of stuff prevents us from getting there, but we're working on options that will be available for future years.
Okay. So for this year's race, have you worked out the sort of go-around?
Yeah, we will do what we did last year, which is going back out of Copper Harbor on Trail 134, 135.
Now, of course, the mushers and the dogs are the main attractions for the event, but it doesn't happen without the volunteers. And Beth Ann, I want to just kind of turn the attention over to you a little bit. The people that come out to do this, those I've talked to, they've done it once, and then they do it every year after because they love doing it.
Absolutely. This race would not go down without the help of the volunteers. There is no way you can entrust mushers, snowmobiles, and vehicle traffic to cross each other's path without a catastrophe, without the help of the volunteers. I started a number of years ago, 3 years ago, I think this is my fourth year, as just a volunteer, as you say, and was just drawn in by it. The magic and the anticipation, the whole process is, I can't say overwhelming because that makes it sound bad, but it's one of those things that you're like an adrenaline junkie, so you want more. We have a number of volunteers that I know as soon as I look at a crossing, oh, that's going to be manned by these folks. And again, we couldn't do it without their assistance. So to know that we've got volunteers that come back and continue to train people who come by for the first time means that this race, the legacy of this race, will be able to continue.
And you mentioned about the crossings. I know that a lot of businesses or organizations organizations will have a team, and a team of basically volunteers who will work together, and oftentimes they can kind of work in the same spot doing the same thing, working together on the during the race.
Absolutely. And again, that's where I was mentioning that it's nice to know that when we've got those senior experienced volunteers that come out, when we have somebody else that comes on board or maybe joins that company or that organization, that they will continue to train the proper way to do it. We do provide a training, but it's nice to know that when you go to a crossing that there's somebody there that knows exactly how it's going to go down and what you need to do and how many people you need to have, and it makes my job a lot easier. Absolutely.
What if you've never, you know, even seen a sled dog race before, but you want to volunteer, you heard about it, or you want to do it? Basically, you don't have a lot of experience. Will you be able to work and help out?
Absolutely. There's a number of volunteer positions, both inside and outside. So if you don't like the cold, there's a number of activities that go on prior to the race or in celebration of the race that your talents and your volunteer time could be put very well to good use. We do also have, like I said, a volunteer training, which will be held Sunday, February 26th at the CLK High School from 1 to 3 p.m. And that's a walkthrough. The first hour is inside, kind of giving you a tutorial of what to expect, the basics of the safety as far as when it comes to crossing, you know, how to stop mushers or how to guide through traffic situations, etc. And then the other hour is actually outside with a musher actually handling some of the dogs.
The start of the race, when there's all the dogs being lined up and they're just fit to be tied. I mean, they want to hit the trail and they go. It's exciting, but if you're not used to it, you know, if you're one of the people that are working one of the sleds to help them up to the start point, it can be a little intimidating. I mean, with the dogs all going, I mean, they're having a great time, but you know, there's a lot of intensity at that moment.
It's astonishing how the dogs can all be off to the side by their musher, kind of waiting in cute for their sled to come forward. And as soon as they are hitched up, they know it's showtime. It's amazing how they know this is when we get ready to go. And it's kind of like watching an IndyCar race, and they're sitting at the starting gate revving their engines. They're just ready for somebody to drop the flag and say go. That's exactly how these dogs are. And that's why when we have volunteers that handle the dogs, there's a number of people that handle them. There's 8 or 10 people at the ready, so that if a team is overzealous, we've got more people. And sometimes the mushers have their own teams because they know their dogs best, and then we just let that musher use their own people to get the dogs to the gate.
And as fun as it is to volunteer, you also have to take it very seriously, because there's the real chance of, you know, somebody, a person or a dog getting hurt. And so you know, it's why you do the volunteer training, so that they're at least best equipped to handle those situations.
Absolutely. Like Meredith said in the beginning, we want a safe race. We want, you know, content mushers, and we want happy volunteers. And the last thing we want to hear is that, I know, a dog gets hurt or a musher has an issue with his team because volunteers did or didn't do something appropriate. So yes, we take the volunteer training actually very serious.
Meredith, some of the feedback that you get from the mushers who participate in the race, what do they say about the volunteers?
Most often, or actually almost all the time, I shouldn't say most often, they are astounded by the mass of volunteers we're able to recruit and how excited and happy they are, to the point where they're always saying hi, or someone throws them a Gatorade or Coke on the trail, which is very exciting for them after at mile 30 and they're thirsty. They rave about how well the volunteers take care of the mushers, especially at the start when their dogs are revved up and they're hard to get to the start. They're just really happy to come to the Copper Country, and the Copper Country shows very well and shows what we're about and the nature and the history of this area.
The Copper Dog 150, because it's become such a huge event, and it's a perfect time of year to have it too, I think, at the beginning of March, because, you know, the snowmobile tourism has been going on for a while, but, you know, yeah, winter is, you know, hopefully, you know, a month or so away from breaking. So it's a great event to have, to look forward to all year round. The impact it has on the area economically too is pretty neat for one event, because of the amount of people that it brings in.
Absolutely. We have no official numbers. We don't have anyone actually sitting down there ticker counting people that show up, but we expect and usually estimate around 3,000 to 4,000 people show up to the Calumet start. Imagine that. That's a lot of people coming into Calumet for this event. These people purchase merchandise, they visit the shops, they eat, So that helps with the economy boom. In addition, the hotels are full during the weekend. It's hard to get a hotel, especially anywhere Calumet and north. And it's actually been reported out of River Valley that they've opened a certain amount of checking accounts just from people visiting during the Copper Dog and new mortgages. I don't have the number off the top of my hand, but it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to restaurant owners in the area there who say that the Copper Dog 150 weekend is their busiest weekend of the year. So it's, you know, it's just made such a big difference. What other preparations do you have to make between now and the start of the race besides just getting the volunteers together?
Well, I think an important thing that we cannot miss is the amount of sponsorship that affords this race. We have about an $86,000 budget, and that's a lot of money that needs to be raised or in kind to put on this race. A lot of the money goes to a purse to attract mushers, and we're trying to attract world-renowned mushers. So we currently have mushers coming from Minnesota, Michigan, Ontario, Wyoming, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Tennessee. It's interesting, Tennessee. I didn't know they had snow, but he's joined us before, so good on him. But the event actually costs somewhere around $20,000 to put on. That's including a $5,000 snow road. So when Calumet's trying to remove snow all year long, we then go around and say, hey, can you put that snow back in the road? And that really brings the race to the people. And that's what we have to do. The race cannot exist without it bringing it to the community. So putting that, although $5,000 seems like a lot of money, it's to have people be able to make the relationship to the race, to be able to see them leave town. So we cannot do this without the sponsors. And I would be remiss if I started listing all their sponsors right now, because I'm sure I'd miss somebody. But we must thank River Valley, who's been our lead dog sponsor for these 8 years. And we have a lot of team dog sponsors and point dog sponsors and volunteer sponsors on the website. Please go there and view them, and also say thank you and pay your patronage to them. Without them, this race would not go. And without them, these mushers would not come to the Copper Country.
The use of technology that I've seen incorporated into the race over the years is really amazing. I think Michigan Tech does this sort of real time. You can follow some things online. There's so many different things going on now. You're a big tech person, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Tell me all that stuff. But
so we did try the Michigan Tech thing a couple of years ago, and it put some mushers in the middle of the lake, and we had moms calling.
Really? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
They're showing my daughter in the middle of the lake. No, it's just an error. But what we do is we have a lengthy radio system. We employ basically our large infrastructure of our 800 networks and our ham radio networks in the area. I think we have somewhere around 20 ham volunteers that are there for safety, but also to report in times. So we're reporting in real time. It's getting typed in from a control center, and it's going straight to the web, so people can follow their mushers at every crossing. So then we can track them to see where they are. It's a safety, but it's also for people that want to follow the race from afar. We have not gotten into GPS. It's a little expensive, and sometimes we don't have the right signals. That might be in the few years to come, but we do a lot with what we have. Everything is computer-based for us, even the timing. Our timing crew has computers out there that are trying to keep from freezing so that they can have the correct time, which are also, they're set to military standard time. Our chief timer, Kiko, is very serious about his job. But when $27,000 are on the line, you have to be serious about your job. I'd have to, you know, say thank you to Todd Broussard and his team from the years past that have built the technology around the system and the website that supports all this technology.
Let's talk about the race itself. Because, you know, we've jumped into a lot of these other topics around the race, but we haven't really kind of gone down, you know, how it's, you know, where it starts, when, what time it starts, where it goes, and how it kind of wraps up.
So officially the weekend starts at about 8:30 in the morning on Friday, where the mushers will assemble for vet checks. And we make sure that every team is checked by a vet. We have a team of about 10 vets, veterinarians and vet techs, that will check them and mark them as in or out. Then we'll come into a musher luncheon, sort of celebrate the weekend ahead. And then they'll move down to Scott and Fifth Street, right by where Kissel Chevrolet was. It's now Parkway Auto Repair. And that's where they'll assemble waiting for the race to start. The official opening ceremony starts at 6:30, Friday, March 3rd. And then the first musher will leave at 7 p.m. They will leave, if they're on the 150 team, they will head to Eagle Harbor. They'll arrive somewhere between midnight and 1 a.m., if they're on the 80 team, they will head to Eagle River, arriving very similar times into Eagle River. The 150 team will have a nice night of 5 or 6 hours of sleep, get right back up early in the morning, and will leave Eagle Harbor at 9 a.m. headed to Copper Harbor. Arrival about noon to 3 in Copper Harbor. And then they'll actually have some real rest. We won't restart again until about 8 o'clock the next morning. And the 80 will also restart about 8 o'clock the next morning. The 150 teams will go out first, followed by the 80s, and then they will ride back into Calumet, where we will welcome them and end the race there with a awards banquet at Sacred Heart Church following the end.
Now, I've had the privilege of following the race through every stage in the years past, and of course, Calumet's the big party when the race begins, but the mushers really appreciate having people to cheer them on when they're leaving, both from Eagle Harbor the following morning, and then coming back from Copper Harbor on Sunday as well. You don't get quite that big send-off in Calumet, but it really adds to the atmosphere.
To me, Eagle Harbor morning and Copper Harbor mornings are my favorite because it's quaint. There's not as many people. You can really get closer to the mushers and really feel the energy that's existing in there because there's not as many people. I love those mornings. They're quiet. There's almost this crisp silence in the air, and then you hear these dogs. And people are very much, the mushers are very much in the zone trying to decide how they're going to run. There's money on the line. And there's usually only about 50 to 60 volunteers, so it is much smaller. But it's a pretty special time to really understand and get to know get intimate with the race.
I would agree. And knowing that the Eagle Harbor start and the Copper Harbor start, when those mushers look around, those are Eagle Harbor folks and Copper Harbor folks. Whereas in Calumet, we have a lot of the smaller neighborhood towns that come to help, the volunteers from the university and stuff like that. So it's a bigger variety of who comes to volunteer. But when they look at the folks in Eagle Harbor and Copper Harbor, there's an eye contact thank you that is like, I know you're people who live and breathe this community. And it makes it a little more unique.
There's a lot of fun and festive things going on in Copper Harbor, too. I mean, it's not that you need an excuse to go to Copper Harbor. It's a wonderful place just to visit. But you follow the Copper Dog up there. There's all these people, all these mushers, all the dogs that are up there. And then to go up there and enjoy, having something to eat. And in years past, they've had sled dog rides. I don't know if that's planned there for this year.
We will have sled dog rides once again. It's scheduled for 4 p.m., 4 to 5 p.m., but I'm sure there'll be overflow time. In addition, there's actually live music at the Pines, our official checkpoint sponsor. And so there's all sorts of things to do up there. It's Saturday night's real fun because the mushers do have downtime, so you actually can meet them and talk to them and get to know the teams and get to know the volunteers and that kind of thing.
And if you don't make it up to Copper Harbor to follow the mushers, in Calumet, they continue this week, the whole weekend, with a lot of events, and Saturday, of course, being another big day.
So we would be remiss if we didn't do something on that snow road on Saturday. It's not fair to us to put a snow road in and then not come back until Sunday for the businesses, and we recognize that early on. So we have tried really hard to provide entertainment down there so that people are still coming to Calumet over the weekend, because this is about a weekend of entertainment. It's not just about the dogs. It's about us celebrating winter and celebrating the pride in the Copper Country. So this year we're welcoming back for the fourth annual time the Doghouse Races. That has gone very successful, and lots of teams have participated. There is a $500 purse, with the first prize taking $250 and a $0 registration fee, which means you can clear $250 if you can be the fastest doghouse race. This is human-powered. So we're going to forget the dogs for Saturday and go to the humans.
All right. Describe what a doghouse race is, because you've seen it, but other people haven't.
So. It's a spin-off the Trenary outhouse races, where you build a doghouse and you have to race it down a block in Calumet and then race it back. So it's really up to you how you want to build it. I would say go light, but make sure the structure's there and have some fast people. But there's also a prize for crowd favorite. So the more animated you are, you might win some extra money as well. And that's happening. Registration starts at noon. Like I said, it costs nothing to register, but we want to know what teams are there to line them up. And then at 12:30, the races will start. In addition, there'll be fat bike demo races from cross country sports and just entertainment down there to enjoy the snow road and enjoy winter in March.
Is there any help that's needed with those events like you need with the race itself?
Absolutely. As I looked at the volunteer page this morning, there's a number of crossings that are still Like Friday is about 40% manned right now, and Sunday is even less than that. So I'm not sure if that's because of it being the first weekend of spring break starting, that maybe people are planning on being away or not sure yet whether they're going to be in town or away. We have a new crossing this year, the Mohawk Crossing. That's a pretty big crossing. So if there's an organization or a group or even a number of, you know, pairs of twos that want to come out and be a part of something, that's a new crossing that somebody could claim as their own, if you will. We need a safety coordinator to come on board this year. So if somebody has experience in the past with different safety aspects of other organizations or even through their work, reaching out to us would be, that'd be a good way to get into Copper Dog and play a pretty intricate part, because safety is such a big piece of our puzzle. And always snow fence. Putting the snow fence up on Friday morning starts usually about 8 o'clock. It's building that snow road and getting the fence up so that we can hang the musher banners and stuff like that. I'm not worried that these positions will fill. Our community always seems to have that Youper pride, and we tend to come together in the end. But I would encourage, if you always take that particular crossing or always take that particular volunteer position, please go ahead and get yourself signed up. We do sleep a little better at the end of the day knowing that we've dotted all our I's and crossing all our T's. And I can't stress it enough, the safety piece of this is so important that we really have to know. We can't just guess that this group is going to come back out or that this one's always taken care of. We really have to know that we're putting our mushers in a safe position.
Yeah, and get registered or to volunteer as quick as possible too, so that you know, yeah, like you said, you don't wait till the last minute and say, okay, well, I'll let them know that week, and they'll, you know, because you have to fill these spots, you have to know they're taken care of,
right? And then we have the ability to close a slot. So if a spot takes 8 volunteers and we've got 10 or 12, I then have time to reach out to the overflow and say, I really need to move you to here. Is this okay? And for anybody who's thinking about volunteering or has volunteered, if you volunteer on Friday and you think you'd like to be up in either of the harbors on over the rest of the weekend, you can volunteer for more than one position, more than one day, more than one opportunity. So you can volunteer to do a crossing as well as make your way back and do something for the banquet, if you will. So I strongly encourage everybody to reach out. If you've got any questions, it's at just regular Copper Dog, www.copperdog150.com. There's a volunteer, and there's also a contact us spot on there, and you can reach out to any one of the board members, and they'll direct you to myself.
Meredith, I assume that registration for the race for mushers, that's been closed for a while.
No, we leave it open.
Really?
Up until about 5 days before the race. It's hard for mushers to make their final statement of what they're going to do. They have to wait for the weather. While we have snow, other people don't have snow, so their trainings are dependent on that. I think we close the Tuesday before the race. So I suspect we're at 19 right now. I suspect we'll get to 20 at least, maybe 21, 22. Just depends on how their races go. It's the last race of the year for many, so they really want to go out with a bang. And then there's 10 in the sports class race.
What about sponsorships, if somebody still wanted to get on board with that?
Absolutely. We're always taking sponsorships. And you can email sponsor at copperdog150.com, or you can go to the website and find anyone on the website to email or contact. There's a lot of information about sponsorships on the website. We, like I said before, are very serious about making sure our sponsors are happy. Everyone needs to be happy in this race, and we cannot do this without them. Just wouldn't be a race.
Now, I don't believe I've asked, but have you ever been on a dog sled?
I have been on a dog sled, yes. I've had the opportunity to drive a sled during the kids' rides for the local musher, Tom Bauer, and he teases me every year. When you're done with the race, why don't you come race one of my teams?
Yeah, we're going to pick it up? Think so?
I don't know. That's a lot of time commitment. Not that putting on a race isn't a time commitment, but we'll see.
Beth Ann, what about you?
I have not. I would not be opposed to it. Absolutely love being around the dogs. I think it would be an adrenaline thrill that I've not taken yet. So we'll never say never.
I've been on a sled one time, actually, for television to do a quick shot. I just bring it up because a number of years ago when I had Todd and Doug in here doing this interview, and it's like, so, you know, tell me how, you know, what got you into mushing? Like, we don't mush. We don't
There's no one currently on the board of the Copper Dog 150 that is a musher. And I think that's what makes it unique. None of us are mushers, but we want to do this for the community and for the community that our families, our friends, and our children are growing up in.
And the mushers certainly definitely appreciate it. Year in, year out, I hear how much the praises for the Copper Dog 150, for the people that put it on, for the community that's here, for the volunteers that take part. All I can say is, I'm looking forward to, what will be another successful event and hopefully many, many more after.
I promise if you come out, it's going to be a good race. We're welcoming 2 new rookies and 18 veterans with 4 returning champs. Some of our powerhouse teams are joining us again this year, and I expect it to be a tight and close race. So please, if you have an itch at all, come out. It's going to be an exciting weekend.
March 3rd through the 5th, the Copper Dog 150 starting off in Calumet. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.